Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The always effervescent Gabe Yarman is in Houston, fueled by Whataburger. And what else?
That's it. Whataburger and adult beverages at this point.
So that's a...
Not right now.
Hey, I wouldn't judge at all, especially during this time of year. And that's a heck of a combination. What is your go-to at Whataburger?
Just any hamburger. I don't even... Just put whatever you want on it. It's all good. It was better at 11:30 last night, and maybe it seems like it was right now, but
where do you come down on the highly charged debate of Whataburger versus In-N-Out Burger?
My rankings would be Whataburger, Culver's, Steak and Shake, and then In-N-Out.
Wow,
that is just blasphemous.
I thought it was it was fine. It was a hamburger, but nothing special.
Did you get cheese on the burger? There's something. There's something in that cheese. I swear. I think maybe crack.
What?
I mean, I ordered it without the crack. That was.
See,
I go again. I will ask for the crack.
Yeah, just say, hey, I need some of that crack that you call cheese, and then make it animal style.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. All right, I'll try it again sometime.
Brahms not anywhere in your top five.
What's that?
Brahms is not anywhere in your top five?
Brahms is decent. Yeah, those aren't... I don't know that those are my top five. It would take me a while. If you put a hamburger in front of me, I'm going to eat it.
See, I guess I'm the ultimate, blasphemer when it comes to this, because to me, they're burgers. Burger. It's burger.
Yeah.
It's good. You know?
I don't know. It was good, though.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. If you come to Texas, you can't leave without having gone to Whataburger at least once.
You do feel like that's part of your obligation. Before we get into the Texas Bowl, any thoughts, Gabe, just on we talked about it a little bit on our show, but any thoughts on the Bragging Rights game, big takeaway of the way that game unfolded?
I think if those teams played 10 times, Missouri would win most of them. I think Missouri's a better team, but they were so awful for 20 minutes that, they wouldn't have beaten anybody with a pulse on that night. That's about as poorly as they can play. There was not one thing they did well. And, what I wrote after the game is hey, Missouri's a lot better than they've been, but they're maybe not quite as good as we had let a bunch of wins over – average or bad teams make us think they were. I mean, Utah killed them. West Virginia, they gagged that one away, and then Illinois beat them. I mean, they don't have a lot of real impressive wins so far.
What does that mean for what they need to do in the league if they want to get into the tournament?
I think, to go to the S, I always kind of look at it as, what do you have to do to go to the conference tournament and not have to win a game? I think if Missouri went 11-7 in the SEC, I think they'd be in no matter what happened at the SEC tournament in St. Louis. That's doable for this team, but this league is so much better than it's been. I think they go into league play with seven teams with a legitimate, expectation to make the NCAA tournament, and then playing places like at Vanderbilt's not easy. At South Carolina's never easy. So if they can get to 11, I think that would be a big success, and I think that would certainly get them in.
All right, we're visiting with Gabe Yarman. Let's go ahead and move on to this Texas Bowl. I am expecting a very one-sided game. I'm expecting,
yeah.
Bowl games oftentimes are about motivation, who wants to be there, who doesn't. I think Missouri is the better team, and they want to be there. And I don't know who's even going to play for Texas. Uh, is Is this shaping up to be a lopsided game?
I mean, I think so, for all the reasons you just said. I mean, Texas has three guys who are skipping the game, three guys who are suspended. Tom Herman said yesterday Malik Jefferson not going to play. I mean, that's a third of their starting lineup is not going to play in this game. And it's motivation, and to me it's the quarterback. Missouri has one of the hottest quarterbacks in the country, and Texas has, you know, they don't even know which guy is better. I mean, Tom Herman said yesterday that basically he's starting Shane Buechele, but also Sam Ehlinger will play. And he said, you know, neither one of those guys has done anything to, like, lose the job and be out of the race as far as next year's starter. But he said, but neither one of them has done anything to really take control of it either. So when you look at all that, I mean, the quarterback play is not that good. Texas, their leading rusher is their second-string quarterback who ran for 364 yards this year. I don't see how Texas scores enough unless Missouri's offense gives them 14 points.
Well, Sam Ehlinger was on the show with us in the last hour. He's here in Kansas City, so I don't think he's playing in the game.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's my... That's oh, every Sam time you hear Sam Ehlinger, you think like Sam Ehlinger, you know, it's.
Well, hey, I, you know, but that's the thing. It wouldn't be shocking if like the backup quarterback was just like, yeah, I'm not going to go. I mean, nobody else is coming.
Right. Right. Like there's like people sitting out in this game for Texas. I'm like, what? I don't know. The quarterback situation right there, like you said, that before you even get into the motivation part, it's just an enormous difference. But the motivation part, I do think, still exists because we've seen good teams go lay eggs in bowl games if they don't really care to be there. But I feel like this.
I mean, the last time Missouri was in this game, they were playing Navy and they clearly didn't care.
Right, right.
You know, and they got run off the field.
Well, that was a weird game too, though, wasn't it? Like it seemed like the game plan was all wrong for Missouri in that game too, if I remember correctly, defensively.
Yeah, they did not do very well against the option. you know, Navy ran for like 947 yards or something like that. That was totally, it's still to me about like, look, Navy said, hey, we've got a chance to beat a pretty good Big 12 team. And Missouri goes, oh, good. Our reward for our season is playing Navy in a bowl game.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean.
Whereas I feel like this Missouri team, with the way the season started, the way that they recovered to rescue the season, and the fact that it's Texas, I mean, it just seems like this. There's everything out there for Missouri to be fired up about.
I agree, and I guarantee Barry Odom has played up. I mean, the odd thing is there's not a lot of Missouri players who probably really know the history of Texas and the Big 12. There are a few. I mean, Drew Locke knows it. I guess yesterday in the media session, you know, somebody asked Marcel Frazier about it, and I wasn't talking to him at the time, but asked, you know, kind of if the players really knew the history, and Marcel's answer was, paraphrasing here, I mean, we know why we left the Big 12. Everybody knows why we left the Big 12. And the obvious, I mean, it was Texas. So, you know, they know about it. That is probably less of a factor, but I mean, even Texas fans, I don't think, much care about this game because while I think you should look at it if you're a Texas fan and go, hey, we're back in a bowl game for the first time in 3 years. Like, let's go have a winning season. This would be something. I think the attitude of Texas is we will never admit that we care about the Texas Bowl because our program is above that. You know, I mean, the goal is not 6-6 and beating Missouri in the Texas Bowl.
Right. Hey, you mentioned Marcel Frazier. He apparently played with a torn quad for the first half of the season?
Yeah, he just, like, none of us knew it. He just kind of casually mentioned yesterday, you know, I felt like I started playing a lot better when I got healthy. And we said, well, what was wrong? And he said, I tore my quad this summer. And really, and I was getting therapy on my shoulder all summer, and that didn't get better until about week six. And so I look back at the numbers, and in the first six games of the season, I think Marcel had three tackles for a loss and 1.5 sacks. And then the last six games of the season, he had like 10.5 tackles for a loss and six sacks or something like that. ended up leading the SEC in tackles for a loss, which is pretty impressive since he really only played half a season.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I'm almost surprised you could get healthy, you know, during the season when you're trying to play on something like that. Obviously, one of the big questions, if there is an issue for the offense for Missouri, it's the coordinator situation, right? Like, that's the one thing we don't know in terms of how that's going to work out. What do you think we'll see any tangible differences? I mean, they're going to run the same offense.
Yeah.
I mean, how does this affect the team?
Yeah, they're going to run the same offense. I mean, Joe John Finley, who's calling the plays, he actually, a lot of this offense came from Baylor and Joe John Finley. I mean, this was not the Josh Heupel spread that he ran at Oklahoma. This was much more of an Art Riles type offense, and Finley brought a lot of that here. So I think you'll see some wrinkles because it's a bowl game and they've had a month to put in some new plays and stuff like that. But again, it goes back to the quarterback situation. I mean, it shouldn't make a big difference because you've got a guy who's now started, 32 games or something like that. I mean, Drew Lott knows this offense. I mean, I would imagine Drew could go out there and call the plays himself, honestly. He has been the quarterback's coach for the last 3 weeks in bowl practices. He's run quarterback meetings. He's coached the quarterbacks during practice. So, you know, I think they've got a lot of faith in him regardless of who's actually signaling in the play.
This is not going to be Drew Locke's last game as a Missouri quarterback, is it?
I would be very surprised. And he actually, he said yesterday, which surprised me, he told the media, like, yeah, I got the draft grade back, and they told me to go back to school. So the 2% window or whatever that you leave open is, okay, well, the NFL's already told him that, so why hasn't he said he's coming back? And I'm not sure, but the way he was talking yesterday, talking about how the offensive coordinator hire will be a big factor. And I think he's just kind of making sure, hey, they hire a guy that is going to play to my strengths, that is going to do kind of what I want to do, showcase him. Because I think everybody expects if Drew comes back next year and has anything even approaching this year, I think he's a first-round guy next year and maybe the first quarterback off the board, obviously depending on what Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold do if they come back to school. But everybody expects him back. He just hasn't actually said it. And I think I'm not sure. It could happen tonight. They could come out and win the game. He plays really well, and then he goes into the post-game press conference and says, oh, by the way, I'm coming back next year. You know, we've seen that happen before. It might wait a few days, but I think this will be resolved no more than a week.
All right, final question. Gabe, just give me a prediction. What do you think the score is going to look like?
I think Missouri 37-20. I'm not sure Texas scores that much, honestly.
Yeah.
But Texas if they're going to win this game, they've got to win it like 17-14, and I don't see how they hold Missouri to 14 points, considering their three best players on defense aren't coming to the game.
That's always a problem. Gabe, we appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you on Friday and recap this one and get ready for SEC basketball conference play.
All right, sounds good. Nate, you deserve a medal for working. Tell Steven he's a slack.
You know, I totally agree. I don't know. I don't have any arguments for you. Thank you very much, man. See ya.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that's Gabe DeArmon. Controversial thoughts on the burger rankings.
Yeah. He's from Columbia. What do you expect?
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Whataburger guy. I mean, it's good.
It's fine. What I appreciate about Whataburger is the options.
You get jalapenos on it. You know, that's the thing.
You can get an egg on it. You can get a jalapeno on it. There's options, limitless options.
Yeah.
And I think that's I enjoy that about a Whataburger. But it's not a better burger than In-N-Out.
My wife loves a burger with an egg on top.
It's great.
She loves it.
Yeah. Little over easy, little runny egg on your burger. Love it. I mean, two patties, some bacon, and a fried egg on top.
If you give me the choice between burgers and tacos, I will go tacos 99 times out of 100.
See, I don't know. Like, my mood swings. So
yeah.
Sometimes I just need a burger. Sometimes I need some tacos. Sometimes I just need some pizza. always need pizza.
I need pizza and tacos perpetually.
See, pizza is my number one.
I perpetually need pizza and tacos. Every once in a while, I need a burger. I don't know what it is, but I just don't need a burger that often.
That's all right.
I mean, pizza
don't
for sure.
Don't feel shame for that. You shouldn't. Yeah, you shouldn't have to apologize. It's not. I feel like you're apologizing to me, and I don't. You like tacos better than burgers? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think I probably like tacos better than burgers, but.
But you still love a burger.
I love a couple burgers.
not just a burger.
Yeah.
Couple burgers.
Couple. I need a couple of them.
Yeah. Okay. The cheese. Huh? That cheese.
It's unbelievable. And see, I go 4x4, 4 pieces of cheese, 4 patties, and then it's a quad burger.
So there's a million sandwich places anymore, right? There's just a million of them. I'm partial to Firehouse.
Sure.
Firehouse Subs is my favorite.
It's a good sandwich.
There's another big, you know, sandwich chain that to me has the boringest sandwiches in the world.
And they're your son's favorite.
And my son's favorite.
Right.
He just loves the place.
Sure.
And I'm like, why? Like, all you get is a ham and cheese anyway. There's nothing. I mean, it's, and you don't even eat the bread, you know? And he's like, oh, the cheese. Cheese is phenomenal. I'm like, it's a slice of provolone, man. Like, you know, you can get that anywhere.
Well, yeah, he just probably doesn't know that. Probably like, you know,
there's something in his mind that that's told him that that's the place that he has to go there.
You ever, you know, just bought him a pack of provolone?
Oh yeah, we got it at home. Like, dude, we have slices of this at home.
like, nope, not the same.
And it's not the same.
You know what? I can respect that about Lil Ben.
There's something about, you know, when he goes there, he identifies it that's
gets his
spot,
provolone.
You know,
I get it, man.
Slice of cheese, okay.
Nothing wrong with it. It's respectable.
Sure, it is. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.